The message today is one of the most important messages you will ever hear. And you won't hear it in most churches. There are two kingdoms in this world. The domain of darkness and the kingdom of God's Son. The kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. These two kingdoms are at war with each other. This is why we, the Christians, we serve in God's army. We're at war and we're going to take licks. Sometimes bad things happen to good people simply because they're on the front lines fighting for Jesus Christ and the devil whacks them, but you can be recovered and get back on the battlefield. These two kingdoms are very clearly taught in Scripture. This explains why evil things happen. This explains the mess that's going on in the Middle East right now. Evil, 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 trying to destroy good people. And that is the work of the devil. He's at work all around you. Well, there is a God. Why does all these bad things happen? Because you need to read the Bible and know there's a devil. Can you say amen? And you say, well, why don't God stop him? Because Adam and Eve sold us out to the devil and he has a legal right to be the ruler of this world. And the Bible clearly says he is. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and has nothing to do with me or in me. And so there is a prince and he's evil and he wants to destroy you. He has you on his list. And if you do not listen to this message and know your authority, he may win. And it's not just the message, it's the Scripture. Colossians 1:13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness. Now, you've been rescued from the domain of darkness, so you do not have one need to have one foot in darkness and one in light. You need to get all the way over into the kingdom of God and not try to drag a foot out. Can you say amen? He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption. The forgiveness of sins. There is a domain of darkness, but we have been transferred from darkness to light, from Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom. Get that. There's another kingdom that you used to be a part of, and that kingdom is aiming to get you for being a turncoat and turning you back on them and turning to Jesus Christ. They hate you because you change sides, the devil and his imps. Acts 26, verse 17, I will rescue you. He's talking to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, renamed St. Paul. I will rescue you, St. Paul, from your own people and from the Gentiles I'm sending you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, to open their eyes and turn them from the domain of darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. You see two kingdoms? We're operating under the power of God. They're operating under the power of Satan. You say the witches and psychics have real power. They sure do. It's demonic. And Christians should not be messing with them. And it's highly forbidden in the Word of God that we have anything to do with that power. It's real. And the Bible makes it very plain. If you'll just pay close attention, I've dug out a lot of scriptures here. And to open their eyes and to turn them from the domain of darkness, the devil's kingdom, from the power of Satan to the kingdom of God, to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. It's not automatic, but when we preach the gospel and preach the word of God, then it's up to them to believe it and accept it. There is the kingdom of evil and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And when you really get that and understand that, it will change the way you pray. I pray the way I pray because I know I have a real enemy that's setting traps for me every day. And I pray and I get the victory before those traps spring. You can stay out of trouble that way. Well, I got one, yes. That's better than nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the yes. There is the kingdom of evil and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells Paul, I have called you to turn them from one kingdom to the next. That's what we're called to do. It's up to you to turn your family and your friends and your co-workers and laborers and your neighbors as best you can. But you don't miss any opportunities. When you have opportunity, it's up to you to turn them from light, from darkness to light. Turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Obviously, Satan has his kingdom and God has his, and they're working against each other. We are at war. And that's why the devil tries to shut me up when it's time for me to preach. He wants to shut me up because I can't get up here and tell on him and preach the truth of God's word. And Satan, you have no authority over any of us. Get out in the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, listen to this. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. In darkness, you were in the domain of darkness in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Really? You can read it like this, the prince of the evil kingdom, called the prince of the air, but it's the prince of the evil kingdom, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All the disobedient rebels are in the devil's kingdom, and he is working through them, Hamas and Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all these radical demonized groups are really servants of Satan. And they call Israel the little Satan, the United States the big Satan. Actually, they're the Satan. Actually, they're so deceived, they are the Satan and don't even know it. They're serving the devil. They preach hate and murder. They go to heaven for murdering people. You see how opposite that is to the kingdom of light? Where's all this evil coming from? Just an average good old human being is not that evil. The true evil we see is Satan working through the children of disobedience. Well, I think I heard another amen. That's really a miracle right there. Well, that's really a miracle. Good preaching. Paul says, you were dead in your sins when you served the ruler of the evil kingdom who is now at work in those who are disobedient. See, this evil ruler has his own kingdom, and it is made up of fallen angels and disobedient, radical, rebellious people. And boy, do we have them in this country, everywhere. The devil's literally trying to take over, and he's having success partly because the church does not realize this. They haven't studied the word and not using their authority to shut him down. Satan is how many hours you've spent praying for the mess in the Middle East? Satan is working through his evil, disobedient people to kill, steal, and destroy. The evil one constantly works to produce fear, doubt, depression. Where do you think all that stuff's coming from? You step out to take a new job and the devil, and you hear all these voices in your head, you're going to fail. You're not going to make it. Every time you get to the new job, you're so depressed, you mess up and get fired on the first day. Where's that coming from? You have an enemy. The evil one constantly works to produce fear, doubt, depression. You're driving down the road and you almost have an accident. And the devil says, see there, God's not protecting you. You almost got killed. What you need to say is, are you crazy, devil? They missed, didn't they? They missed. I'm not going to worry about a miss. I'm going to thank God for a miss. Because God made a miss. Y'all still here? Oh, okay. The lights are bright up here and I like it. I can see the notes. The evil one constantly works to produce a fear, doubt, unbelief, oppression. And he works to produce strife and rebellion and ungodly lust. Yes, we have normal cravings, but the devil can magnify those things. And the Bible says the tempter went to Jesus. If the tempter came to Jesus, he's coming to you, and you need to know who it is and what it is and take authority over him. Say, take your lust and your ungodly ideas and thoughts and get out. Amen. Satan is working in this room right now. We've already bound up depression, oppression, fear, doubt, strife, and anger. There's a good atmosphere here, but I guarantee he's trying to work on your mind. Some of you said, don't listen to that guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You don't have authority over, you don't have authority over the devil. And the devil's telling you that. And the devil even tell you, that's of the devil. There's preachers preaching, that's of the devil. And it's the devil using them to say that. Satan is working everywhere all the time. He'll bring strife into your home. You get so mad at your wife and all upset, throw a fit. You need to understand that strife is coming from hell. And it's not there to bless you. You don't need what you want. You need the will of God. And you need to submit to the will of God and tell that strife to get out. And don't just cast out your wife. Cast out yourself first. John 8, does this make any sense? It explains some things, doesn't it? John 8, 44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you have, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. He lies. He speaks his native language, which is lying, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You see, there is no truth in Satan. Everything he says is a lie. The secular humanists say there is no truth, and they teach that there are no absolutes, no right or wrong, and no truth. They're literally teaching the doctrines of Satan. And it actually says it. There'll be doctrines of demons and devils, and that's what this is. There's no God. Look in the mirror and say there's no God. I dare you. There's no way in the world you can look in the mirror and see yourself and think you're some kind of giant accident. That takes a lot more faith than to believe there's a God that created me. You see, all of these lies are coming straight from Satan and the ruler of the kingdom of lies and deception, and we warn that they're there, and we warn, do not be deceived. And look around how many people who claim to be born again and they're deceived and doing a lot of ungodly things and believing a lot of ungodly things is keeping them down and out of success. Satan has been using secular humanist professors to teach hate against the Jews, hate against Christians. If you haven't been paying attention, they hate that far religious right. What's the far religious right? Bible-believing Christians. Why do they hate us? Because we believe in abortion is murder. One thing. They hate you. Don't think they just hate the Jews. And these radical Muslims. I'm talking about all Muslims. I'm talking about these radicalized ones. I mean, if you think they just hate Israel, you got nothing coming. They call Israel the little Satan and us the big Satan. And they're really after us. Who do you think knocked down those twin towers? It was the same mentality, the same mindset of Satan. Hate, stealing, murdering, destroying. Hate, hate, hate. Look at what these universities are teaching. Hate, hate, hate. Hate this one. Hate that one. Hate that race. Hate these Christians. Hate, hate, hate. Hate the Jews. Hate, hate, hate. And it's the devil. John 10:10. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. It's time we quit attributing things of the devil to God. Like old Job, God did this to me. God didn't do it to you. You allowed it to happen in many cases because you didn't pray and read the Bible and go to church. You allowed it to happen, but now you can, if you wake up, you can take authority over it and tell the devil to get out. Satan will use every deception and every lie possible to steal from you, to kill you, and destroy, totally destroy you and your children. Your kids need to be in church. Well, they don't want to go to church. Well, you're the boss until they, in my opinion, until they fully grown at 21, 25, or 35. And you need to stay on them, like somebody said, ugly on an ape. I mean, you stay right on them. You know, do everything you can to get them in the right place. But Jesus came that we might have abundant life. Let me tell you a little secret. Fear, doubts, worry, and depression is not the abundant life. I refuse to live that way because it's what the devil wants. if I really truly believe there's a God that's rescuing me and taking care of me and watching over me, why would I fear anyway? So, but fear can be a spirit, and you have to tell it where to go. You have authority. Depression, you have authority. Now, I realize there's chemical imbalances and things that can cause some of these things, but you get before God, He can heal that too. It's not the work of God. God doesn't want you depressed. Born-again believers have the abundant life working in them. Do you think it's God's will for you to be depressed? If you've been evil and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will Heavenly Father give peace to you that ask Him? My peace I give, and you not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be agitated. Let not your heart be troubled. Who agitates your peace? Satan. Tell him where to go. Well, preacher, would you pray with me and tell the devil where to go? Well, I can, but sooner or later you're going to have to do it yourself. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, that's what it's like to live a Christian life. My burden is light. Some say serving Jesus is very hard, but Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Who are you going to believe? I have found out serving Jesus Christ really is a joy and a breeze, and I faced some really major things. Our second daughter was born with a major heart condition. I've had every kind of thing hit me you can think of since I came to Knoxville. He's hit me and daughter with everything, including the kitchen sink many times. But we just pop right back, take authority over him, get our equilibrium back, and go at it again. Can you say amen? It gets to be where it's almost fun. Oh, here comes another battle. You might as well get that attitude, because you're going to have battles until you're standing in heaven. And if you want to have peace, you're going to have to stop the devil from agitating your peace and telling you all the bad things that's going to happen. The Bible says that the servant of God really has no fear of has no fear. Can you say amen? They have no fear of a bad report. Quit fearing possible bad reports. Well, this kid could have this problem. This kid could get on drugs. This kid could wind up in jail. Stop that stuff and tell the devil to get out. Blessed shall be the fruit of my body. You tell him that. Blessed shall be. Y'all pay attention. I could use a Starbucks right now. If y'all not paying attention, I could just run on down to Starbucks. But I think I got your attention on this one, I believe. Wait, let me correct it. I think God has your attention on this. I didn't dream this up. God has, over my lifetime, God has given me this message trying to figure everything out myself. Satan is the brutal taskmaster, not Jesus. It's not Jesus beating you up. He came that you might have life and that more abundantly, and he doesn't have to beat you up because the devil's going to do it. Don't get the two mixed up. Jesus and Satan are very different. He even said that before he was crucified, he said, the prince of this world is coming and he has no place in me. He even recognized he had an evil ruler to deal with. And guess what? He crucified him too. He used people, but it was the devil. It says he even entered into Jesus to deceive, to use him to betray Jesus. So it was the work of the devil. But the devil didn't know what was coming. He got blindsided. Jesus didn't stay dead, and that's been a big problem for the devil. But it's a great victory for us. If he came back out of that grave, so will we. And if we do have a burden, the Lord helps us carry it. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. Well, I've had some big problems. If you think having a daughter born with a major heart condition is not a big problem, it is. But guess what? Jesus got under that thing and helped carry it, that burden. The Word of God lists the works of darkness, and they are forbidden. We must reject them. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. But the armor, like God's armor, you know what the pieces of armor are, and let us walk properly in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. You see, these are the works of darkness, and we need to be serving the Lord and living in the light of God's word. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Make no provision. What does that mean? That means if you've had a weight problem, don't buy any ice cream and put it in that freezer. Make no provision for the flesh. Put on his character. Put on Jesus Christ, I believe, means to put on the character of Jesus Christ. He went about doing good and healing all, ministering people, blessing people. He served as a good Samaritan, helping people out of ditches. And we need to be good Samaritans, taking on the character of Jesus Christ, loving and helping and ministering to everybody of every color, every creed and code. Can you say amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The worst thing you can do is try to really change yourself. It ain't going to happen. But when you get into the prayer closet and pray and meditate on God's word, the Holy Spirit will begin to renew you and change you and turn you into the person you were meant to be. He lives inside of us. And he makes us his workmanship, creating in us the character he wants. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, we are renewed and transformed by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. James 3:14. But if we have bitter envying and strife, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. What does wisdom mean? Is you can have a lot of knowledge, but you don't have the ability to use it. And so this kind of what it means, this way of doing things, strife and anger and rebellion and selfish ambition, that is all of the devil. I just read it. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, especially born-again believers, glory not and be not and be and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, this way of doing things, bitter envying and strife, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So the devil. Strife's of the devil. Well, I got to fix this. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care who it hurts. I'm going to get it done. You're of the devil if you're doing that. I don't know anybody right now that's doing that. But Amy, don't want to be of the devil. You don't fix things through strife. Amen. I just said it myself. Amen. And I mean, you know, I'm from a pretty rough family, you know, and I have to watch strife myself. But strife doesn't do any good for me or anybody else. It's real easy for me to get massive. Well, I just got to pray through, get rid of that. This way of doing things, you remember when I'm preaching, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to Dottie. The only thing is she's back there with the kids. So I guess I'm preaching it to me. This way of doing things is from the evil one. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Look at that. Look at all these churches around here split 30 ways from Sunday because somebody's got to have their way. We don't need green carpet. We need blue carpet. Have a war over that. I've heard of one church that split right down the middle and started two different churches because they couldn't decide which side of the platform to put the piano. Now, you're talking about the devil going to church. He not only went to that church, he split it in half. Devil, you know, don't you show up here. You have no place here. Now, get out. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Remember that if you want your family to have every kind of confusion, evil work, just let strife stay in the house. Get it out. The prince of darkness uses our fleshly ambitions and strife to bring confusion in every evil work. 2 Timothy 2:25, those who oppose him, this is talking about the leader, the pastor. Sometimes people oppose trying to get their own selfish way. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance. Listen to this, leading them to the knowledge of the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You see, does the devil have any one of us in a trap? He says these people are in a trap, and the only way they're going to get free is if the preacher, the leaders, the preachers of the church, the leaders of the church, teach them the truth, because it's only the truth that can set people free. Now look, does the devil have any one of us in his trap? You see, we can't escape by discovering the truth from God's word. We must teach God's truth so people can be free. The devil's captivity is real, and we can escape if we know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's read that first part again, running out of time. Those who oppose him, the leader, the preacher, must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, that they may come to their senses when they hear the truth and escape from the trap of the devil. If you're hearing some truth today, you might want to go home and escape from that strife and that anger and rebellion by casting it out. I've had to cast it out myself and my family many times. Devil, you're not going to split this family up. You just get out. That doesn't mean we all agree on everything, but that spirit of strife is getting out. Thank you, Jesus. Those who practice the works of darkness will not inherit the kingdom of God. I go with the word of God, not what some preacher says. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Say, do not be deceived. Who is the deceiver? Satan. Don't listen to anything contrary to the word of God, because it's Satan. If it comes from the preacher, if it's contrary to the word of God, it's the devil. But just make sure you understand the word of God. Do not be deceived. You say Satan and his human servants are the deceivers. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. How many think there's some things that I should leave out? God didn't leave them out, and I ain't leaving them out. It says if I take something out of the word of God, my part will be taken out of heaven. I don't think I want to go there. How about you? But there are preachers who take something out. They're taking something out. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And you can't leave anything out. At the same time, you can't pick out one thing and say, we can keep that. It also says, you know, that strife is of the devil. We can't keep strife. Envy and hatred of people, it's all got to go. See, the secular humanist university professors would tell you it does not matter how you live, just whatever you feel, whatever feels good, wherever you want to do. But if you do not want to go to hell with them, do not let them deceive you. They are deceiving our kids, and we need to be praying against every lie that's coming out of these universities. Secular humanists, in many cases, actually taking over the universities, and they're getting the good guys fired. I hope you're paying attention to what's going on in America. If my people would you call my name, shall humble themselves and pray to seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. It's up to you to know what's going on, and you can't just listen to one news source. Listen to all of them. Make up your own mind. Don't let somebody tell you what to believe. You're a Christian. You're a born-again believer. You know Jesus Christ. You owe it to yourself to know what the truth is. Well, they said this. They said it. I don't care what they said. I want to know the truth. And when they say somebody said it, I don't believe it till I hear them say it. Now you can find a video of everything everybody said. You know? And especially people in the public arena. And if you can dig up those videos and see exactly what they said. Those who practice these evil things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't say that. God said it. The key word is practice. A Christian might fall into sin, but he's not going to like it. He's a born-again believer. He's going to come right out of that and ask God to forgive him. Amen. But it's talking about people who habitually live in sin and practice hate and strife and rebellion and immorality. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. I'm not going to teach on this today. I may get to it some other day. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I just want to say, if we're just in a little wrestling match and it's not war, why would we need armor? Why would we need armor? The devil has wiles and strategies and plans to destroy our lives. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, our war is not with human flesh, but with Satan, evil principalities, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Some people are fighting a battle with their own flesh, and they're losing. Why? Because you need to take authority over the devil that's behind that. That spirit of lust, that addiction, even to sexual things, can be and must be broken. It's demonic. Because the devil will come in, and when you open the door with those things, he comes in to make it an addiction. And you got to get him out, no matter what you've done. You see, this source of wickedness is intelligent and deceiving. Satan's intelligent. Demons are intelligent. They know exactly how to set you up. Amen. And you need to know how to take them down. Okay. This is why we need the truth. This is why you need this message. And don't say I've heard it before. Are you taking authority and using this message? That's what it's all about. Hearing something is not, it's acting on it. It's using it. Galatians 6, 7, do not be deceived. There it is again. Why does he tell us not to be deceived? Because of deceiver. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. But it doesn't matter what you do, just do what feels good. No, you're going to reap everything you sow. When you hate other people, you're going to reap it. When you're mean to other people, you're going to reap it. When you show love, you're going to reap that. When you help people and bless people, you're going to reap that. And if everybody's been mean to you, you may want to check up on you. You may. And I don't mean to be critical of anybody. As far as I know, everybody here is perfect. Except me and Stan. Is that okay, Stan? Verse 8. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Oh, you can't just do whatever feels good. Look around at the people who are doing that. Many of them are already dead in the grave as teenagers and young people because they thought it's okay to take a little pill. Deceived they were. The secular humanists say, there is not a God. Man is just another animal. Therefore, there is no accountability. The truth is, we will all reap what we sow in this life and the next. And every one of us will give an account to God in this life and the next. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. It's wise when you live by the book. I said it's wise when you go by the Bible. Verse 16, make it the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We live in evil days, and we need to take advantage of every opportunity we have to be successful, to be a blessing, and to help other people. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is. You don't have to walk around in the days. You can really, truly know the will of God and know you have authority to carry it out. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is. We must understand what the Lord will is and make the most of every opportunity. We must not be unwise, but wise in all of our decisions. And the only way to do that I know is pray until you hear from God. Amen. That's why I refuse to do anything until I know I've heard from God. Amen. We've been here 43 years, and God has really helped us make good decisions all the way. Not just us, but all of us. Can you say amen? Amen? The devil is trying to set us up for defeat, all of us in our jobs, our families, our careers, and everything they were involved in. But we must be wise. Therefore, verse 17, do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, understanding and discerning what the will of the Lord is. You're foolish when you're not discerning what the will of the Lord is. Just make a decision. I don't know what to do. Let's just do this. No. My sheep know my voice. Well, I just can't hear from God. Well, Jesus says you can. My sheep know my. You just got to pray until you know, until you get a substance, evidence, a no-so in here. It's not always a voice. Sometimes you just have a piece in here. This is the thing to do. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Is this almost good? 2 Corinthians. Oh, Jesus, help me. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing. Where do you do that? In the prayer closet. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, Satan is the source of strongholds, addictions, evil imaginations, and destructive demonic thoughts. He's behind it. He's putting that stuff in our heads to try this, do this, and even using secular humanist people to tell us it's okay to use drugs. It's okay to have sex with everybody in town. It's okay. It's not. We cannot win. We cannot win just through human effort. We must use our God-given authority to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, and captivate our thoughts. Use our authority over Satan. Listen to Jesus, Matthew 17:20. You shall say to this mountain, I tried to quote that earlier. He's talking about a demon the disciples could not cast out. He said, ye shall say unto this demon, move from here to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. We need to do what Jesus said. We need to believe that we truly have that authority, that knows so inside of us, that we have authority over the devil, and then we need to tell him, you just moved to right over yonder, and don't touch me or my family or anybody else. Be gone. I'm just reading it to you. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, it's okay with me if you don't believe the Word of God, but it's not okay with God. Tell the devil to go, and he has to go. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith. I know people say that can't happen, but this says it can. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Be careful, because our adversary, the devil, is working day and night to deceive us and destroy us and our children. And we need to make sure our children are in church, Sister Dottie's class, if possible, learning the Word of God, so the secular humanists won't be able to convince them that there's not a God, that man is just another animal, and it's okay to live any way you want to live. Do not be deceived. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be alert, be vigilant, be on guard. Why would he tell us to be on guard? Because we're at war with demons and devils that want to destroy your health, number one. Be sober, be vigilant, be on guard, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, I told you, it's the devil causing your problems. He's doing everything he can to eat you alive. Verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. You can take authority over him and say, be gone. He's got to be gone. This is instruction to God's army. Be on guard, soldier, because your enemy is lurking around in the dark, seeking to destroy you. Be on guard and know who you are. I'm a child of living God. I'm the property of God. Satan, you have no right to touch me. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Stand your ground. Stand on God's promises. You can't just stand your ground. You got to stand on God's promises. In the name of Jesus, resist the devil. What's one of the promises? With his stripes, I'm healed. That's what I stand on. When it comes to healing, resist the devil every step of the way. Never give in to him, and he will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll run away. Stand up, please.